Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
What is an NFT? And why do I need cryptocurrency? What is an NFT? And why do I need cryptocurrency? What is an NFT? And why do I need cryptocurrency? What is an...
This is Bachelor Clues. And this is not going to be a full episode. This is going to be a short little episode, maybe 20, maybe 30 minutes long. I just wanted to take a second to address something that is easily the most frequent DM that I currently get. It is a question: what are NFTs? As we all know by now, there's an artist named Beeple who does 3D digital pieces of art. He sold a piece of his art that contained images from everything he's done every day for the past, I believe, 7 years. He sold that single image, that JPEG that contained all of his works in one big image. He sold that at auction at Christie's for $69 million in quotes dollars. The reason I say in quotes is because he didn't actually sell it for dollars. He sold it for Ethereum, a cryptocurrency. And the amount of cryptocurrency he got is currently worth $69 million American dollars. And as you guys know, if you're following me on Instagram, I've been dabbling in this a little bit, selling some of my memes as NFTs. And it's been an interesting experience. I'm just kind of trying to use it to teach myself how all of this works, because I didn't know what any of this was either, up until maybe a month ago when I started reading about it, researching it, and then actually dipping my toe into the NFT marketplace and figuring out how it all works. So I'm now going to tell you what I know. I wouldn't say I'm an expert on this, but I also definitely know more than probably the average person does. Like, as I've said, I've sold some NFTs and I hold some cryptocurrency, and I at the very least know kind of how the cryptocurrency world works, et cetera, et cetera. So To get into NFTs, first, you have to understand cryptocurrency, at least at a base level. So I'm sure at this point we are all aware of Bitcoin. Maybe you're even starting to hear about Ethereum, which is the cryptocurrency that is used to buy and sell NFTs primarily. And there are a whole slew of other crypto tokens, which are different currencies, basically. And each one of them operates off of a blockchain technology. Bitcoin has its own blockchain, Ethereum has its own blockchain, and a blockchain is just basically a kind of endless digital ledger of interactions that both create the individual coins and then also keep track of where those coins are sent, from which account to which account, so that there is always this giant ledger of everything that is happening on that blockchain. Cryptocurrency was created in 2009, I believe, and the first one was Bitcoin, obviously. That's the one that has been around the longest, and I read an article yesterday that said if you would have invested $100 in Bitcoin in 2009, that investment would now be worth $39 million because its value has fluctuated wildly over the past 10 years or so. And we're at the point where we are now, where you have people like Elon Musk, who is obviously a billionaire, investing $1.6 billion of Tesla, his company, investing $1.6 billion of Tesla money into Bitcoin. And when things like that start to happen, when the people who have the most money in the world start transferring it into digital currency, and also Tesla is now accepting Bitcoin payments for the cars that you can buy. So you can go to Tesla on their website and pay for a new car in Bitcoin. There are no dollars exchanged, so none of it can be taxed. And that's a whole other component of cryptocurrency. But basically, the point I want to make here is people who have the most money in the world are starting to transfer it into cryptocurrency. That's a very important thing because it means a shift is now starting to happen. In the beginning, cryptocurrency was seen as kind of a novelty, and then it became almost like a commodity. You would invest in it, hope that its value went up, meaning one Bitcoin is worth X amount of dollars, but that X amount of dollars is what was important about it. Right now, Bitcoin is, I believe, at about $57,000 per coin. But what you're starting to see as these billionaires are investing more and more of their money into Bitcoin and now accepting Bitcoin as payment for their products, you're starting to see this idea take shape, which is why Bitcoin was invented in the first place. The kind of philosophy behind it is a decentralized economy. Money that we can all use on the internet to buy anything we want that is not controlled by any government. So American dollars, for example, our United States government controls the value of the dollar 100% all the time. They print all the money. When I say print, I mean, yes, they make physical bills, but they also generate the kind of digital representation of it in banks, in the Federal Reserve, all of that. And of course, they tax it. Any monetary exchange that happens in our country is taxed. You owe money to the federal government, to your state government if you live in a state that has state income tax. And all of that is traceable and trackable. The government is currently very scared of what cryptocurrency represents. And they have, I believe it was just last week or the week before, they passed a bill that will allow them to tax the sale of cryptocurrency back into dollars. So if you were to buy, let's say, one Bitcoin for $58,000, and then it goes up to $68,000 the next week and you sell it, you've made $10,000, you will be taxed on that $10,000. However, if you buy the Bitcoin and you just hold on to the Bitcoin, or you use the Bitcoin to buy a Tesla, you will never be taxed on the Bitcoin. And so that is kind of where we're at now. And governments are trying to catch up a little bit to the technology of all cryptocurrencies. They don't quite understand how it's going to affect global economies in the very near future. But once you have somebody like Jeff Bezos saying Amazon is now going to accept cryptocurrency as payment for any of our products, it's over. The dollar, any other global currency that matters, is going to evaporate. And I personally believe that that is likely to happen in the next 5 years or so. Once you start to see the people who own the biggest companies in the world accepting cryptocurrency as payment for their products and services, and maybe even more importantly, once you start to see employers paying employees in cryptocurrency to avoid taxes, cryptocurrency will take on a value unto itself. So it won't be Bitcoin is worth $58,000. You won't even have that attached part of it, that idea that it has to be translated back to dollars. It will just be how much Bitcoin do you have? And that number will be meaningful by itself. And also, as more large companies start to accept cryptocurrency as payment, you're going to see the stabilization of these cryptocurrencies. They won't fluctuate as wildly as they are right now, because it'll be less of an investment and it'll be more of a functional currency globally, certainly digitally. And that's truly where we're headed as a society. You've heard me say this many times on our podcast, that the primary world is now the digital world. It's where we spend most of our time. It's where we do all of our commerce. Cryptocurrency is money that exists in that world. Dollars, euros, whatever global currency you can imagine, those exist in the secondary world, the physical world. And yes, they have kind of translated into a digital existence, but they are still taxed in the exact same way that they always were before the internet. Cryptocurrencies don't have that. And so as we move into this new digital frontier, cryptocurrency, blockchain technology is simply how we are going to be doing business at some point. We're still in the very early days of this. And I know that there's kind of a barrier of entry to understand cryptocurrency, to put money into it, to open a crypto wallet. I know that that all exists. It existed for me too at a certain point. And then I just was like, you know what? Fuck it. I have to learn this because this is where we're headed. And right now we're in a very interesting time where, you know, the global financial markets for literally their entire existence, since money was invented tens of thousands of years ago, most likely, the people who created the money have always been in control of it. And this is echoed through time until where we are now. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. We know all these phrases because they're true. And it has locked out the average person from being able to get into that industry for whatever kind of discriminatory reasons might exist. But right now, with cryptocurrency, we're in a very interesting time where everyone is completely equal. Anyone can get into this game right now and see where it goes. But the people who get in first are going to have the most control over it. And right now, those are the billionaires like Elon Musk. He is a crypto whale. A crypto whale is somebody who owns a large portion of cryptocurrency and just sits on it and watches the value go up. So right now, everyone has, as I said, an equal opportunity to buy in, to get some crypto and just sit on it. See what happens. You don't have to sell it. You don't even have to look at it as like a speculative thing that hopefully the value goes up and I can sell it and make, in quotes, dollars off of it. Just get some Ethereum, get some Bitcoin. You don't have to put a lot of money into it. A couple $100 and leave it there. Sit on it. That's my opinion anyway. That's kind of what I'm doing. I'm not putting a huge amount of money into it, but I am putting some into it because I do think that we are moving toward this existence that is going to be primarily digital. And I do think that cryptocurrency is going to be what you use to operate in that world. So that's kind of what cryptocurrency is, why it's important. And, you know, hopefully I've imparted enough to make you believe that indeed you can get in on it right now before that entire industry is locked down. Okay, so that's crypto. How does that relate to NFTs, and what are NFTs? NFTs are non-fungible tokens. So like Bitcoins are fungible tokens. If I have a Bitcoin and I trade it and I get another one, those won't be the same Bitcoins, but they will serve the same function. Or dollars are also fungible tokens. It's a token that represents one unit, and that unit is what matters. The individual tokens are interchangeable. Non-fungible tokens are exactly the opposite. These are tokens that cannot be exchanged, that are unique. So if I buy an NFT piece of art, that singular thing that I've purchased is completely unique unto itself. And I can sell it for other cryptocurrency or money or whatever. I could trade it for another NFT, but those two NFTs are not the same. They will be completely different pieces of art. They are unique, and almost more importantly, they're very easily authenticated, because to create an NFT, you have to task one of the crypto blockchains. Right now, that's the Ethereum blockchain, which is, again, another cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. It's the second highest valued cryptocurrency under Bitcoin. I believe as of this recording, Ethereum is around $1,400 a coin. So to make an NFT, you basically get your image, you get a JPEG, or you can get a GIF, you can get a short little video, and you can go to one of several different websites that will allow you to upload that image and put a title on it. It will tag it with your creator name so that it's authenticated, and it will then send a request to the Ethereum blockchain. That request will be resolved. It will create your NFT for a cost, which is known as a gas price, and that price basically has to do with how many people are tasking the Ethereum blockchain at any given moment. And once it is minted, you can then sell it on any number of auction sites. The ones that I use are Rarible and OpenSea. These are ones that anyone can go on and upload an NFT right now and sell it to whoever might be interested. There are also ones like Nifty Gateway, which is where that artist Beeple has sold some of his stuff as well. Those are higher end, kind of like, they're almost like Christie's auction house type places. You have to have an invitation. You have to be one of the bigger known digital artists to be able to put your stuff up on one of their sites. And so the NFT then is just this image. It's the file that is associated with not only the image, but the time of its creation and the creator who created it. And once it's made, it is then also registered into the blockchain. So just like any transaction of Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever the coin may be on whatever blockchain it's on, just like there is this perfect ledger of every transaction that has ever happened, there is a perfect ledger of every NFT transaction that's ever happened as well. So you can click on an NFT and see its history all the way back to the creator and see who has owned it through time. And so that makes it very interesting as well. And there have been a wide array of different kind of applications, and people are still developing them for NFTs. It started really as people selling JPEGs and GIFs, and the most famous one is that Beeple piece that sold for $69 million. But we are starting to see things like NBA Top Shot, which is a fascinating example of how you can use NFTs. These are clips, short video clips of highlights from NBA games that the NBA has put in these little 3D digital spinning cube images. They then take each of those little videos and put them on almost like digital trading cards, and they sell them in packs. So you can buy a pack of five common ones for, I think, like $10. You can buy a pack of, I believe the commonality tiers are common, rare, uncommon, legendary, and mythic, which if you play video games at all, it's a very similar system to loot in most video games. But all of these things have different rarities, and the rarities are imposed because the NBA is deciding how many of each of these get printed. So the super rare ones, like there was a LeBron James one that a guy got out of a pack and he sold it that day for $500,000+. And the NBA Top Shots NFTs exist in their own NFT network. You have to go to their website. All of the NFTs stay there within the NBA Top Shots kind of like world. So it's almost an NFT world unto itself. And we're starting to see more things like this develop through time. We've also started to see bands sell their songs as NFTs. We've also started to see artists selling NFTs of like a sculpture, for example. And then if you buy the NFT, if you have it in your crypto wallet, you can show that at their gallery and have free access to come see the real sculpture anytime you want. There are these kind of real world applications to it that some artists are attaching, which are interesting, obviously. And I think we're going to see more and more stuff like this happen, especially as the world starts opening up and we start getting live concerts again. I can see a version of it where if you go to a concert of your favorite artist, let's say it's Taylor Swift, when you go out into the lobby of whatever arena she's playing in, there's going to be a merch table. You can buy her t-shirts, you can buy her posters, whatever they have, whatever physical objects they have. But right next to that is going to be a little kiosk that has five or six NFTs with their QR codes that you can only get at that concert. So they will be unique to the event. You will have to have been at that event to purchase them. And then they're like these collector's items that could have only been acquired at that event. I believe you'll start to see things like this happen for sporting event, really any live event, they're going to be selling NFTs that commemorate your presence at that place, and those will be collectible. The high degree of collectability of NFTs is what is also driving these giant prices. And if you need any information on how to open a crypto wallet, just go to YouTube, type it in. There are, I don't even know how many videos that are like 3 minutes or under that will have you opening a crypto wallet, putting a little bit of money in, and then you can just kind of mess around with it. But that's basically what an NFT is. It is this, it's a unique piece of art that it only exists digitally. It is just a file. And I know there are arguments made that are like, well, if it's just a file, like, can't I just copy the image and like put that on my computer screen? Why do I need to buy this thing? Absolutely. In the same way, you can get a digital image of the Mona Lisa and put that on your computer screen, but you don't own the Mona Lisa. You know, if you are collecting art as a commodity, as an investment, obviously the picture on your screen is going to be worthless, but the real Mona Lisa is going to have a lot of value, just like NFTs. And primarily NFTs really help digital creators, people who make art that there is no physical art left behind. There's not a painting. There's not a sculpture. All the memes that I make, I've made those on Photoshop and in my phone. Like, there is no physical print of them. They don't exist anywhere other than digitally. And Beeple is the same way with his art, his 3D renders. They're all digital pieces of art. And so there's going to be a huge explosion of artists who really had no way to get paid for the stuff that they create until now. People who work on, you know, special effects on movies, 3D renders for video games, all that kind of stuff. Yes, you can get a job at one of these companies making that media, but selling your own digital art was virtually impossible until now, until NFTs. And there are definitely articles emerging that talk about the environmental costs of creating NFTs, because it does require energy to make them. The blockchain obviously runs on electricity, as does our whole world at this point. And while these concerns are certainly valid, the fact remains, this is happening. And I think a lot of people will read an article that says the environmental cost is so bad and allow that to be a reason to just check out of it completely and say, I'm not going to do this. It's bad for the environment. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I am saying NFTs are happening. Blockchain is happening. It doesn't matter what these articles say. And right now, you have the possibility to kind of get in the early phases of it. And it's almost like a land rush, really. Like the environment of NFTs, blockchain, crypto, it's in its very early phases. And we've already seen the people who got in like the first phases. Like I said, if you invested $100 in Bitcoin in 2009, it's worth $39 million now. That was the first iteration of this. That is going to happen again as cryptocurrency starts to get used for more and more things. Once Amazon accepts Ethereum or Bitcoin, it's like the value of it will, I don't know what it'll do, but it's going to go a lot higher. I can guarantee you that. So you're in a phase right now where, yes, there are things that are bad about it in terms of its environmental cost, but the world's not slowing down. We're not going to get off our phones. We're not going to stop using computers. We are going to constantly need more and more electricity for everything we do. That's just the nature of what technology is now. And so while it's a shitty component of this, and certainly different companies are trying to mitigate that as we speak, I think it will get better in the very near future. But I personally don't think it's a reason not to do it, because again, it's just happening. Like, there's no stopping this. That's kind of the key component of it in my mind, and the thing that really made me say, like, all right, it's time to like stop fucking around. I need to put some money in crypto. When I saw Elon Musk put $1.6 billion of Tesla's money into Bitcoin, I was like, okay, that's it. Like, one of the richest people in the world is now investing a huge amount of money on the idea that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is going to have a very big influence right around the corner on how the global economy works. So because that's happening, I'm like, you can either sit back and not do it and eventually be forced to, or you can do it now and possibly gain some of the benefit of being in early. There's, for example, there's a website right now called Decentraland, and it is a 3D world. If any of you play massively multiplayer online games like World of Warcraft, it's very similar to that. And it's a big server that has plots of land, digital land. You can go into this world. They have their own cryptocurrency. It's called Mana. And you can buy that in any crypto wallet, Binance, Bitcoin, whatever, MetaMask, whichever one you want to use. You can buy that there. And that is currency that you can use in that world to buy plots of land, to buy houses, to buy clothes. And right now, that's just kind of the first one of these virtual worlds that is being built around blockchain. No one knows if that one's really going to take off or not. It may, but if you can get in there now and it does take off and you've bought some prime piece of digital real estate, that thing is going to be worth an astronomical amount of money. And when I say money, I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about just the idea of money, currency, something that you're going to use to buy whatever you want in whatever world is important to you. Right now, this digital frontier is happening. We are starting to really build the kind of like second wave of it. If you look at social media as the first wave of our digital existence, starting probably back with, Jesus, probably like America Online or something, or Prodigy even, but ultimately we build up to like a MySpace, a Friendster, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so on and so forth. All of these kind of rudimentary social media platforms are like Mayan ruins to a Dubai that is going to exist within the next 5 or 10 years. There will be digital environments where we are spending, believe it or not, even more time than we are now. And they aren't just going to be like little screens on our phone. We're going to actually be existing in these worlds. And so the NFTs that you buy now could be pieces of art that are hanging on the wall in your digital home 5 years from now, or, you know, you could put it on your t-shirt in that world or whatever. There'll be a million applications for it. And I think the NFTs that are being sold right now are going to be incredibly valuable in that world because they will be some of the first ones that are bought and sold. And I think that's going to give them a lot of cachet. It's almost like, to use Pace Case's analogy of Pokemon Go, it's like, you know, if you have a Pokemon back from the first day that the game went live, that's kind of a cool thing to have. And I think that many of the NFTs that are being bought and sold right now will have that same kind of cachet. But I would encourage anybody out there who is even mildly curious about this to just go on YouTube, type in, what is an NFT? How do I buy NFTs? How do I get a crypto wallet? There are a million YouTube videos about this that are all very good, that are all very short, and it can get you up and running almost instantaneously. And you should at least be aware of it. Again, because this is happening. It's not something that you should be ignoring anymore. I know that when drastic shifts like this happen in society, and believe me, this is a drastic fucking shift. I mean, in its end phase, and really ideologically why Bitcoin was created, was to replace government-run finance. And if that happens, imagine what kind of societal shift will occur. If the United States government can no longer tax us, but instead, we now operate only in cryptocurrency. And maybe a system gets put in place where instead of the government just taking our money and giving it all to the military, we now get to allocate where our crypto goes. Do you want your, in quotes, taxes to go to education? Do you want it to go to infrastructure? You will get to make that decision on a coin by coin basis, instead of the government just taking everything and giving it to their friends. And that ultimately is why cryptocurrency is such an interesting technology. It's why all global governments are scared shitless of it, because it gives the power to people who are not government officials. And so I, again, would just encourage you to look into this and take it seriously, because again, this is just something that's happening. And with the advent of quantum computing right around the corner, we are going to see massive change in a wide array of different aspects of our society, but certainly how money works. And we're starting to see it happen now. So I hope this has been helpful. And again, please check out videos on YouTube. I mean, they can explain this stuff way better than I have, but I hope that I've at least given you some idea about how cryptocurrency works, what an NFT is, and how it's tied to cryptocurrency, what the blockchain is, and how this is really just going to be the new way we spend money and the new way we buy things. And the fact that art can now just be purely digital. This has never really happened before. I mean, it has with some stuff like movies and music. Obviously, we all now accept that there are no physical movies. Like, we don't have VHS cassettes. We don't even have DVDs anymore. We don't have CDs. We've all made that transition perfectly fine. Art, generally speaking, visual art is kind of the next frontier of that. And then eventually there will be other things that exist in the digital world and kind of replace the things in the physical world as well. This is just the slow transition, ultimately, to us uploading into computers, which I know everybody says is scary and all this kind of stuff, but I would remind you all that at this point we are all carrying around a supercomputer in our pockets and looking at them as many hours a day as we can, and it's just one small step until clutching that phone in your hand or having it in your pocket on your person at all times is a chip inside your body somewhere. That, again, that's going to happen. And once we start to merge with technology, you're going to want to have some stake in the digital world where we're all living. And if you get into that world now, you can buy a beautiful Dark Lord Harrison meme to hang over your fireplace if you want. But thank you very much for listening. Again, I hope this has been helpful in some way. I'm just imparting the knowledge that I have gained over the past month or so as I've kind of been doing deep dives on YouTube myself and trying to figure out how to sell these things and make these things. I will keep learning as well. And if this is interesting to you at all, you know, if you have any other questions, please feel free to hit me up with a DM and I'll do my best to answer whatever I can. Thanks very much for listening.
What is an NFT? And why do I need cryptocurrency? What is an NFT? And why do I need cryptocurrency? What is an NFT? And why do I need cryptocurrency? What is an...
We're almost through the second month of this year, but that doesn't mean that you should forget about those New Year's resolutions, your new goals, especially your skincare goals. Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results. And your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty. I've been using this stuff. Look at me. Look at my face, Pace Case.
You're glowing.
How young do I look? Tell me. Tell me the number.
That's a Pace Case glow. You look like a little baby.
Thank you. That's the look I'm going for. And I put the stuff on at night, Dime's eye cream. And then they have a dewy day cream that I also use. And this is the result.
I've literally never used a moisturizer before. Mm-hmm. I've always had oily skin. But now it's getting to that time. And I made one of my New Year's resolutions to be to do my skincare routine. And I'm using the dewy day cream in the morning. I keep it on the left. Using the restorative night cream, I keep it on the right. It's bim, bam, boom. I know which one to use. And now my face is moisturized all the time. And it's so nice.
You look like a baby as well.
Thank you. I was waiting for it. A little slow. But this takes the guesswork out of the routine. So this is part of the work system, the two moisturizers. There's also a sold out retinol alternative, the TBT cream. I can't wait to try that one as well. Dime has over 2 million happy customers and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars.
This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.